This podcast is sponsored by Athletic Greens. Now, I'm sure you've heard of Athletic Greens from a thousand different other podcasts, but the reason why I think this is the case is because it works. I've been using it for years, and the biggest benefits that I've realized is that it gives me more energy. I feel like I'm getting a full and healthy diet. My poops are better, and I'm sorry to say, but it's true. And so if you're somebody who really wants a healthy diet where they're confident they're getting all their micronutrients, go on and head over to drinkag1.com/Farzad. drinkag1.com/Farzad, where you'll get a free vitamin D plus K2 bottle and 5 free travel packs. Thank you so much to Athletic Greens. And now onto the podcast. So do you think his recent can't get out of his own way, do you think that is a material thing for the long term? Or do you think that's just par for the course with what you're getting? Because, you know, somebody that like myself and Hans, we have large audiences now. And I hear everything. I hear everything, right? And so one of my jobs is to make sense of what's happening, right? And I would love to get your take. Like current arc of where we are with everything that this individual is working on and everything around him that is happening, you know, the rhetoric, the politics, the everything, the working on the technology. Like what is your lay of the land? Help me understand where your head is at with this whole thing right now.
Let me first stipulate that I have a very strong alignment with him in his political views. I come from South Africa. I lived in a neighborhood like his. I actually knew people who lived down the road from him. And, you know, he went to a Jewish school in his primary school, in his nursery school, I guess. And so I find myself very aligned with him in his political thinking. However, I think that what he's doing is not helpful to his businesses.
Are they helpful to humanity, though?
Look, I am very supportive of his drive to free speech. Very supportive. But he has to choose his role. Does he want to be a politician? Does he want to drive this very important cause? Or does he want to build these companies? He has a choice. I don't believe he can do both. He can't save the world politically and save the world, you know, electromechanically. Could be wrong. He may carry it off. But he's generated a huge amount of vitriol. He's generated a huge amount, if I may say so, of hate. I mean, I hate to say it, but hate. And from hate all the way down to just simply, you know, mild dislike and that whole range. But do you really want to do that when you're trying to drive a company towards, you know, success? And so that's just my view, and I could be wrong. I mean, he may be able to carry this all off. I don't think it's easy.
Is it possible to stay relatively apolitical if you are building AGI and that basically shapes a good portion of everything that touches, you know, both human society and politics?
Well, that's the conundrum. The conundrum is you want to build AGI that is completely apolitical. To do that apolitically, you have to push back against the politics of the time. So that's the conundrum. You know, it's really difficult to walk that line because everything is construed politically. So if you want to do something that is apolitical, it will sound political to those people who see something that is apolitical as having political, being fraught with political meaning. You know, so that's the conundrum. That's the difficulty. And that's, you know, that's the case he makes for being political. You know, that he's you know, he wants to build the town square, and to build the town square, he has to be absolutely apolitical. Well, he's not being apolitical. He's being very political himself while trying to allow X to be apolitical. And so people who join X see X as being political because he is identified as X. So that's the difficulty. That's the reason that I say he can either build a business that is the apolitical town square, or he can be political, but I can't say how he can be both. And whatever his political beliefs, I think he should suppress them and just ensure that X becomes completely apolitical and just, you know, allows all kinds of political conversation, all kinds of freedom of absolute freedom of speech to the extent allowed by law in every other domain that it operates, every country it operates. But he, as the loudest voice, the single loudest voice on the platform, who is recognized as the owner of the platform, controller of the platform, he should not use his voice to weigh the scale.
Do you think there's any merit to the sort of, you know, I have, let's say I'm Elon, right? I have a free speech platform. And if I'm trying to put myself in his head, I am working from a frame of reference that says, I feel like every other social media company has put its thumb on its scale of free speech. And thus, to actually have a free speech platform, I have to lead in that respect. I have to voice my free speech. And that's going to generate the discourse, number one, that brings the free speech to the platform. But then number two, that creates the data that I need to build AGI.
You could be a lawyer. I mean, nicely that would- argued. But I think it fails. I think it fails because there's no need for one voice to assert this. There are so many voices that are open to assert, that are ready and willing and able to assert this. In fact, I would say that there's a vast majority now of people on X that advocate Elon's perspective, possibly. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's a statement. But there are many voices for free speech, many, many voices for free speech. I don't think that he has to put his thumb on the scale. I think he should just let free speech be free. So, I mean, it you know, that's my view. I mean, I actually align myself to his perspectives. But I don't think it's being helpful to his business.
Does it feel uncomfortable watching him do what he does as somebody that follows his companies as closely as we do? Is it like uncomfortable?
Okay. I don't get uncomfortable at all. You're having fun. Yeah, I'm having fun. But you know, I understand that for my investment, it's not the best thing for him to do. And I worry about his personal safety. I really worry about his personal safety. You know, in the American context, he's really exposed, but actually he's exposed in many other countries and he travels the world incessantly. You know, he's exposed. He was just in France. I mean, I was in France recently. I think the security situation in France is really shocking. It's not as bad as Belgium, but it's really, really not good. He was there. I mean, you know, he travels everywhere. He has beefed up his security, but, you know, you just cannot secure against crazy.
So do you have a sense that he's rocking the boat a little too much? Is he going a little too far with some of the things that he's highlighting as what he thinks are existential crises for humanity, and you feel that there are already voices out there that are coming forward to fight that battle, and that he needs to, for the sake of his own safety, forget about his ability to voice his free speech, for the sake of his safety, and as a leader of, let's say, a public company and private companies, that he needs to start thinking of weighing that part of the equation more than what he's been doing so far. Do you think that's a fair statement?
Yeah, I do. I mean, none of his private companies are private. They all have external investors. His public company, he's a minority stakeholder, but he is the most senior person. He is the techno king. I mean, he has a, you know, he has a duty to these companies. You know, I just differ with him on the degree that he finds necessary to express these things. You know, the other thing is he's got a large customer base that buys his cars or would like to buy his cars that have very different political views. And there's no doubt at all, none at all, although some deny it, but there's no doubt at all that it's impacted sales. Now, it's possible it's impacted sales both ways because there's two sides to the political, you know, coin. But my sense is it's cost us sales in Tesla. I have no doubt it's cost a huge number of people falling off X. It certainly hasn't cost SpaceX money yet. Although, you know, I mean, clearly he's won the enmity of Biden, but that wasn't his fault. Biden is a union guy, blah, blah, blah. But with the result, you know, and the thing is, he's exposed anyway because he's a multi-billionaire. He's the richest man in the world, so that exposes him right away. But you have to acknowledge the sheer guts of the guy that does what he does and says what he says, you know. So I both, you know, I'm intellectually opposed to the way he's going about things, but I align with many of the things he says, most of the things he says, and I really admire his thinking and what he's doing in terms of promoting free speech. Listen, he's broken open this whole cabal of the media, of the mainstream media, which was getting so sick. I mean, I used to be an NPR listener. All my friends were NPR listeners. Now my friends are divided equally between those people who, like me, never listen to NPR and those people who still swear that NPR is, you know, God's honest truth. Or let's say honest truth, because generally God wouldn't figure into it. But anyway.
No, I think what's really interesting about this whole thing is that so I agree with the statement that without a doubt, a percentage of customers for his companies have either been temporarily sidelined because of his views or permanently sidelined because of how morally incomprehensible it is for these people to be like, hey, I can't believe you're like this. You're just a bad person. I cannot believe I ever supported you for this. Your stance on these issues, the way you're going about it, the worst thing. I don't even care if you're Republican or Democrat. I just think you are a terrible human being, right? And so now, by the function of Elon, however he, you know, in a lot of ways, he hasn't done so tactfully, but in the way that he's presented who he is as a person, being willing to throw himself out there. Some people are like, literally, and it's my podcast, so I don't want to say it, fuck you, fuck your shit, no more. I moved on. And that for sure exists, right? 1,000% exists. I do think that on the flip side, so what, you know, it's interesting because we're in a bubble, right? So like the three of us are obviously fans of the guy. Go ahead, Hans, jump in. What were you going to say?
Well, keep going. I have a question for later.
You know, all of us are fans of the guy. We're fans of his products. I think all of us agree that he's definitely not perfect. He has some glaring flaws. Some of it, I think, you know, some of us might say, like I'll say some of them are just inherent to who he is as a person because of him being on the spectrum. He does not have some qualities that are required to be tactful in social settings, but that's me accepting that, right? I'm like, okay, that's a flaw. But then in other ways, it's like, okay, is that an excuse for him to act in the way he does sometimes? Some people would say no, and I tend to agree with in some respects. But I think where I'm going with this is like, okay, so definitely a percentage of the population is going to be like, wow, this guy is a total piece of shit. I'm never going to support him ever again. And what's funny is that subset of the population, if you really think about like Tesla specifically, I'm willing to bet there's a very large like overlap in the Venn diagram. Kamala Harris's favorite thing, the Venn diagrams, right? There's a huge middle portion there that is like, I supported your case because I viewed your mission and your products as morally good, right? It was sort of entering that with like people felt like I feel great supporting you because you're doing something good for the planet. And then when he's flipped in their eyes, let's say, or he has flipped, regardless of how you view the situation, they are now incapable of supporting him because they were supporting him not from a product perspective of best value for money, no-brainer technology, I love full self-driving, I love the acceleration, it's super comfortable, I love the way it looks, but hey, I feel like I'm doing the right thing for the planet, right? That same crew is viewing this, be like, no, there's no way. There is no way. But I do have to wonder, is that subset really that big? And so if I put my sort of investor hat on, I'm like, okay, from a business perspective, why would you ever isolate your customer base? Especially when so many of them are OGs. If you really think about what I just described, these are OG Tesla owners, right? So imagine how a lot of these people feel when they're watching somebody that they're probably very heavily admired, now they heavily hate because they feel like he's done a complete 180 on them, right? But I also wonder, it's like, okay, but how much of what he's doing is actually creating some game-changing things in society, which is what's causing people like us and others, like a huge wave of people that are now paying attention. They're like, huh, that's interesting. I would have never paid attention to this thing. I would have never, you know, realized that, you know, like the whole media thing you talked about. My awakening with media was way before he bought X. It was like 2016, 2017, just following the Tesla story and seeing how media portrayed Tesla. I was like, what the hell's going on? Then the 2020 election happened and I was like, okay, this is freaking weird. So there's just a lot of things that were happening. But I do, you know, the naive part of me, the 37-year-old part of me says, this is probably going to be net good in the future because there are these systems in place that have been broken for a long time that needed somebody to just kind of kick the door in a little bit and to try and move more attention towards what is actually broken in society that needs to be fixed. And so one could make the argument, and I think this is sort of what you posited in the beginning is like of this conversation, is like, yeah, but do you have to take that on? Like, why are you taking it on? You know what I'm saying? Why do you feel so emboldened to take it on? You know? And that's the dynamic. And I think, you know, when I, and not to mention that if you think about social media and media, they are amplifiers of the extremes. They will always amplify the extremes. They are not representative of the real world middle. So all the comments and everything you see are the extremes, but that doesn't mean that it's not happening either, right? And so it's just such a complicated, weird time in his arc, because he is an engineer trying to tackle societal problems as an engineer would. And it's causing a lot of chaos and discomfort for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you stories about my friends. You know, we live in a society here. This town is Cary, North Carolina. Somebody called it, Cary stands for captive something for relocated Yankees, captive area for relocated Yankees. So we live with a whole bunch of New York people, you know, from business, from technology, really. And I'll tell you a story of one of my best friends. He hates Elon. Now I take them, when we go to dinner, we swap. We drive or they drive. And they've had to drive in my Tesla. And they drove in the X. And then last week I picked them up in the Cybertruck. His wife says to me, I know he'll hate this, but I really, really like this car. And she says, I'm very interested in Elon. I want to buy shares in Tesla. Grump, 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 come, you know. And then, so I sent her some material on Elon, some of his speeches, some of his interviews, pieces of them. They bought the shares. He hates it. He is angry and but, you know, but so if you look at this group of people, 10 years ago, they were all for Elon. All for Elon, all for the car. And we've seen sales fall off in California. You know, we've seen, you know, I don't want to mention names, but some of the big Elon or the big Tesla fanboys have become big, you know, Elon haters. So it, I don't think it served him or us or Tesla well. It may end up serving society well, but possibly not.
One of the dynamics it honestly reminds me of is, you know, when you've got the cool little indie band that is coming up in an area and they've got their diehard fans, but then the band breaks out and, you know, becomes massively successful. And then a lot of those OG fans who love them because they were small and it, you know, was very,
they sold out
to them. Yeah. It's like, sell out. I can't believe you went corporate and mainstream. Like the dynamic really reminds me of that exact specific thing.
It's tough. You know, once you enter the political arena, it becomes almost unmanageable because everybody creates their own reality of you. And so there are all these realities out there and you can't manage it. I mean, I guess you can if you look at, you know, what our president was able to do. I mean, the guy is clearly, I mean, I'm senile. He makes me look like a child. And, you know, I couldn't believe that the guy was walking around absolutely clearly senile, and nobody, it was like the emperor and the and his clothes. I mean, it was like the story of the emperor and his clothes. And there was grandpa getting on the helicopter and people were saying, you know, Mr. President, it's grandpa, it's not Mr. President. So I mean, it's crazy what we do, but there you are.
Yeah. And I think that's the interesting flip side of it. I think the, you know, since you're such a wise 42-year-old man, I think that one of the main reasons.
My son's age, by the way.
Oh, your what's age?
My son's age.
Oh, wow. Okay. Awesome. The great number. The reason why I think we are where we are is because, and I don't know if this is like a sign of the times or if it's always been like this, but my thesis is that in our current society, you know, if you really think about morality, like if you really think about, are you a good person or not a good person? I believe that there is like a certain small number of things that you can objectively say will make a person good or bad. They don't kill people. Probably a good person. You know, they don't beat people up. They don't constantly curse people out and make them feel like crap. They're not always rude to people, right? There are certain things that I think make somebody a good or bad person. But in the current times, I feel like morality has become very subjective. It's not really objective anymore. It's very subjective and it's heavily politicized because of what mainstream media, I believe, like the way mainstream media and media has been built since from the start of the internet age, which is to drive as much fear and divisiveness as possible to bring eyeballs to your publications. You've had decades of this dynamic festering in the mindshare of the public. And through that, we've almost trained ourselves to no longer be tolerant of what would be a subjective moral question versus an objective one. And so if you are an individual that's willing to put yourself out there and share whatever you want, the level of tolerance, at least in the discourse in media and in social media, has moved from a discourse of like tolerance and understanding what the core principles are around objective morality to now that everything's just a question of like, oh, you like pickles? You're a piece of shit. You're the worst person I've ever heard, right? Do you think that's has this happened before? Help me, like, am I even barking up the right tree? Like, help me understand this.
I mean, you're absolutely on target. You know, I've lived through, I came to this country originally because of John Kennedy. I was so enamored of him. I went to school here, went back to South Africa, then I eventually brought my family here and we settled here. Because of my desire to live in a free country where people were all considered equal and where, you know, the liberal thought was so clear and so well understood and So, you know, if you look at the founding fathers' words, they were revered. Now, not so much. Now, everybody's opinion is twisted into some either extraordinarily negative or extraordinarily positive, you know, viewpoint, and they're either judged, they're judged by a group of people to belong or not belong. And so everything is divided into belong and not belong. And so we're living in this crazy world of belong and not belong on every single subject. And then we're divided by race, and then we're divided by color, and then we're divided by gender, and then we're divided by the bald guys against the guys with hair. You know, it's a big problem. I don't know
why
I'm on
this better,
channel.
Larry, you're clearly better.
You know, I'm on the wrong channel. I'm on this channel with people with hair. It's very, very sad. Very sad. And you're right.
Do you think there's a way out?
Yeah, I mean, the worm will turn. The wheel will turn. Whatever the right... this too shall pass. But the question is, what damage will be done? Will we end up in some form of civil war? Will we end up, you know, you think about January the 6th. January the 6th was because, you know, you have these intense political views and people can't resolve. They can't resolve in a civil way the tempest within themselves. So, you know, we have these terrible riots, you know, and then you have this picture of the guy saying, well, it was mostly peaceful demonstration. You see the fire raging behind him and the cars burned out and people. And it's crazy. It's crazy. But, you know, hopefully it does turn. But I don't know in my lifetime whether I'll see it turn fully. Who knows? But we, you know, as a country, we've been through these times before.
Yeah, that's hopefully it happens in my lifetime. It feels dark, but I'm hoping there's a pathway.
You know, the time of the Vietnam War, Farzad, at the time of the Vietnam War, at the height of the protests against the Vietnam War, it felt this way as well. So I don't know if it was quite as broad or as intense. Maybe it probably was. It felt pretty bad, I will tell you that.
Yeah, and we were able to sort of turn that around and go into a time of prosperity and peace and a little bit more stability. So fingers crossed.